Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do things that we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping she's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark, into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people.
Thank you everyone for joining us. Welcome back to Kul Alamim, Daughters of Yisrael. I am your host, Mr. Malka, coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland. As always, happy to be here sharing the word of the Most High. This week we're going to start a new series simply called Strong Walls. We often call one another Koti. And even for our brothers, they call each other Aki or Ak, which means, we're saying that to mean sister or brother. But when you look at the root of this, of these words, the Akoti or Akot and Ak, they have the same root, and is the word Ak. And literally, when we look at the Hebrew pictograph, the root word is spelled with a aleph and a chet. And aleph, we know from our past studies, means power or strength. And the chet is a picture of a wall. When we put these two meanings together from these two root letters, we get the simple definition of what a brother or a sister is. We are strong wall. And that's what we're discussing for the next couple of weeks. Not sure how many weeks these lessons really come by the leading of Abba and his Holy Spirit, as well as fine-tuning of the lessons as far as what it is he wants us to discuss. But we are going to be talking about strong walls and how we can be known if we're being a strong wall for one another. When we call each other akot or akoti, or more importantly, when someone calls you akot or akoti, are you really living up to that title? Are you really reflecting strength? Are you being a strong wall for the person that's calling you a coach or a coachee? What are some of the strengths that we need to have? And at the end of the show, I'm definitely going to share my, and I've done in the past, share my cell number, and those who want to visit our Bob Talk homepage. And just go ahead and post there what are some of the strengths you think is necessary to be a strong wall. Today we're going to focus on accountability. Accountability in being one of the strengths necessary for us to be a strong wall. In examining female relationships, we know we've been given the rep of not always getting along or hating on one another, but I believe the female relationship is very vital to women because we are all wired the same way. We all have various personalities, but at the core, we are all women. And we're going to look at the building blocks of having successful sister relationships, of course, through the eyes of Scripture. A lot of our problem as a nation is that we are being taught through society what a functional relationship looks like between women, instead of seeing through Scripture how we should be interacting with one another. And when, by no stretch of the imagination, I wanted to think about this topic of being sisters or strong walls just in the sense of relationship. You know, so I can just say, that's my sister, or I'm a sister. But we really want to, practically, what does this look like? The Hebrew people, we are very tangible. We are very dynamic. We are concrete. And we want to start looking at our relationships and our roles and the things that we do through these eyes. And the word is our direction. So we're going to talk about today accountability. Accountability is not a term we hear too much in the Hebrew sphere. But being accountable to one another is in Scripture. It is scriptural, and it is even commanded. So as being strong walls, one of the things that we want to be aware of, and again, this is applicable to my brothers who might be listening because we have the same root. We talk about being a brother, being a sister. We want to know that in being a brother or a sister, that we are holding each other accountable, as well as we being held accountable. Few definitions of accountability. The first definition we find, this is just definitions that popped up when I Googled the word, an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's action. Another definition is simply being responsible for one's action. And I even simplified it a little bit more by just finding the word based on what the makeup of the word, which is the ability to give an account to someone. We tend to think about accountability in terms of one person telling another that they messed up, but accountability is more than just wagging our finger at someone or having someone wag their finger at you. Accountability, in my study, is made up of four basic pillars. So we're going to look at these four basic pillars because we want to understand what accountability is. The first thing, the first pillar that makes up accountability is responsibility. In other words, there was something that you were supposed to do. You were responsible to do X, Y, and Z. In the word responsibility, we hear the same suffix, ability. So responsibility is the ability to respond. And you could only respond to something that you were privy to or you had were given authority over. So when we are holding someone accountable, if I'm holding you accountable to your words and actions, I'm asking you to take responsibility of something that you were supposed to do. If you're responsible for something, I hold you accountable by saying, hey, you were supposed to do X, Y, and Z. That's one pillar of accountability. The next thing is answerability, the ability to answer. So this is literally being called to give an account. Like they say, being called on the carpet. This is where you have to now stand up and speak on what you were supposed to do. So you're being called to give an account of something that you were responsible of. So we see how these pillars build on one another. The third pillar of accountability is trustworthiness. And we don't realize how other people depend on us. They depend that we're going to carry through on the thing that we are responsible for. If you tell me that you're going to do something, I am going to depend on that. And when you don't do something that you say you are going to do, you've caused damage to the relationship. And this goes two ways. Not only am I trusting you to do something, but as sisters, we also need to trust that we're going to hold each other accountable. I need to know that if I am going in the wrong direction, I need to know that I have sisters around me who are going to call me on the carpet and going to say, hey, Malka, you haven't done or you've been doing something that you said you weren't going to do. I need that. We all need that because we're all trying to do the same thing, get into that kingdom. And the fourth pillar of accountability is liability, something else that we don't always think about, that our failure to keep an obligation has consequences to yourself and all and others that depended on you. So now we have to think about the consequences of our actions. Too many times we take on the responsibility of a thing and we never really think about how it affects other people
that Yeshua told us to sit down and count the cost and really consider if you are willing to take on the responsibility. Are you willing to stand and answer? Are you able to be trustworthy? But also, are you willing to take on the consequences of your inability to carry out what you were supposed to do? And all of this is what holds up accountability. As believers, we are all in a covenant relationship with the Father. We are. It goes way back to Exodus when Yah called on Moshe. Yahweh called on Moshe and told him to prepare the people because he was coming to meet with them. And Moshe went back to the people and said, listen, get yourself together. We're going to enter into an agreement with the Most High. People in one accord said, all that Yah says, all that Yah says, we will do. That's a covenant that our forefathers made with Yah. And because we were in the loins of our forefathers, those words are also a part of our now covenant with the Father. Not only that, those of us that have accepted the blood of Yahushua, have accepted his life being laid down for our sins, we are also in a covenant relationship to carry on his work of salvation. He didn't just die to pay our sins so we could all just skip away into the kingdom. He saved us so we can continue his work. The world has done a fantastic job of taking biblical principles and applying it to secular issues. They've done this with tremendous success. I look at different things like The Secret, and I look at, there's a website that I often visit, Mindvalley, and they talk a lot about affirmation and speaking things from existence and positive energy and energy healing and meditation and all these different kinds of things. And they don't give credit to where these things come from. But what they figured out is that there is a power. And once you tap into this power, you can do amazing things. See, they tapped into the realization that we are mighty ones. And the same way the Father creates by words, by speaking things in existence, and in the Word it says that we are mighty ones. We have testimony that Yahweh told Abraham that count the stars. But when we look at the Hebrew, it's not literally count the stars, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. It's literally dictate to the stars your future. This is scripture. This is what you find in the Hebrew. And I say all that to show that the world has taken the principles of Yah and been very successful to using it to their benefit. While we, the children of Yah, not so successful in walking out the power he has given us. So we know of many successful accountability groups in our world. AA, that's an accountability group. NA, many people have been set free from addictions. Many families have been successful in dealing with families that are dealing with addicts through accountability groups like Al-Anon. And Anon, many people have lost weight on accountability groups like Weight Watchers. they tell you the key to the success of these programs is coming to the meetings. See, the group has one thing in common, and together they are motivated to succeed, to fight against the things that they are struggling with, and to support one another. And this is what we need for one another. I need the sisters in my life that are going to hold me accountable to the commitment I made to Yah, to Yahushua, to the community of Israel, to my family. It is a gift of love to help us stay on the right path. It is not love. See, brothers and sisters walk in error, and we do nothing, and we say nothing. It is not love to see people, our brothers and sisters, miss the gathering, miss fellowshipping, not coming to service, not coming to worship, not coming to study. We do a better job sometimes of talking about them rather than saying, hey, what's going on, brother? What's going on, sister? Haven't seen you. What's going on? Because we're in this together. We're fighting the same enemy, and he comes to us all the same way. Distractions, discouragement, doubt. And we have to rally for one another to get across that finish line. People succeed in a group when they are working together toward the common reward. They know that each victory is not an individual victory, but a success as a group. See, if we started thinking about ourselves like that, we'd fare much better as a nation of people. And this is biblical, you know. The scripture says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping, because we're all one body. If I bang my toe is not the only part of my body that is suffering. My whole body is suffering because the pain is running through my entire body. Do we feel like that for one another? After I exercise or I'm finished doing a good cardio workout, it's not just my heart that feels well. My whole body feels well. The energy is going through my entire body. Do we rejoice and feel that same joy when one of our sisters or brothers accomplish something? Or do we sulk and become envious and jealous? This group accountability is why Shaul encourages many of the young assemblies that he was writing to stay together, to not neglect the fellowshipping. Because he knows together we can see things that other people aren't seeing. We can be held accountable. But we're going to go into the scripture and see what the word teaches about accountability to see if this is something indeed we need to be focused more on as strong walls for one another. All right, we're going to start off with, where do we first find the thought of accountability? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 9. It says, and Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, out of everything Cain could have said or responded to the father, why respond with the thought of thinking he had a responsibility to his brother? What's the family dynamics that made him respond that way? Yah went to Cain for a reason. But there is a sense of responsibility that we have toward one another as brothers and sisters. Let's let the word show us our responsibility. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to go down to verse 17. And it says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. See, this is what we are supposed to be doing with one another. We're supposed to be a tool that sharpens each other. Making sure that, and think about what you sharpen. We sharpen tools that need, that has a function of cutting. And we know that the word says that the word is a sword, a two-edged sword, rightly that separates between bone and marrow, I believe it says. But what we're sharpening is that word in us. Not just do we know the word, but sharpening where we might not be walking straightly in the word, and not watching brothers and sisters be tossed to and fro by the enemy. And we're going to take a look at the scripture that tells us that. Let's turn to Galatians. We're still looking at our responsibility, according to the word, to hold each other accountable. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So who's writing to this new assembly in Galatia? Letting them know that when you see a brother being overtaken, and what does overtaken mean? Overtaken means that the thing has now overpowered. It has now surpassed the strength of a person. The other day, my husband and I were watching the horse race on TV, and that's a term they use when one horse takes over the lead. You know, they will say, you know, the name of the horse overtakes. So when a brother or a sister has been overtaken, we should have compassion. We really should be compassionate because there's something that is taking over the strength of my sister, and she cannot overcome this by herself. So we have a responsibility. It says, those of us who are spiritual, in other words, we're stronger. We might see this thing afar off. We're supposed to restore, build them up, help them with this burden that they're carrying. But we also must remember that we do this in a spirit of meekness, in humility, not berating and putting them down because they're struggling, but knowing that this is a part of every one of our walks. Every one of us are facing at one time or another a burden that might be too heavy. And we're going to need our brothers and sisters to come and help us, restoring us, because they saw something and they did something. Call just to observe. Or let the Father tell you just to watch and observe. But what's the point when there's situations outside of that, when you are seeing something going wrong, you see someone going the wrong way? What's the point of the Father bringing it to your attention and you don't do anything about it? You're just clanging sound, a symbol. You're just useless. The Father brought it to your attention for a reason, so you can do something about it, not just so you can observe it. Ezekiel 33:7 says this, Ezekiel 33, verse 7 says, "So you, O son of man, I have set you a watch." And we had this term a couple of weeks ago when we were going through Proverbs 31. And the word that corresponded to the letter Zadi was being a watchman. This is what we are supposed to be doing for one another. It says, "O son of man, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me." When the Father brings something to our attention of things going on within our community, within our brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility to warn them, because we know the Father is patient, but he's also there. He's righteous, and he does right rulings. Leviticus 19 and 17 says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." This is why we can't just be watched men and watched women of what our brothers and sisters are doing without saying anything. We're supposed to warn them. Because if we don't warn them, we know that something is going to happen to them. Like we just read in Leviticus, you actually are showing hate when you are not rebuking your neighbor for transgressing the Most High's ways. That's what the word says. Because we see there's a contrast in the verse. It says you should not hate, but you should rebuke. So that tells me, when we're not rebuking one another for the things we know that we're doing wrong, you really don't love your brothers or your sisters. It is not love to pacify someone who is practicing sin, thinking that by being kind and nice, that that is going to cause them to stop sinning. No, sin is a disease. Practicing sin separates us from death. That is what death is. A lot of people on this planet walking around dead. They are literally the living dead because they are separated from Yah. Now, those who are in ignorance, the Father shows mercy to because they don't know. But what happens to us when we are not ignorant? When we knowingly practice sin, which separates us from the Father. And we are watching each other do it. And then you say, "I love you, Aki," or "I love you, Akoti." Word tells me you don't love me, but rather you hate me. Scripture says, I don't have this written down, that a righteous man loves corruption. One time, Yaquiel said, he talked about being corrupted. I've never seen, me personally, any teacher, allow himself publicly, confesses himself publicly when the Father corrects him. Because once you're corrected, you're no longer wrong. We fight against correction so much that we don't realize that once we're corrected, we're no longer wrong. And that's the main thing people don't want to do. They don't want to be wrong. But when you go contrary to correction, you're actually working contrary to yourself. But again, the scripture says a wise man loves correction. So when you don't love correction, you're actually proving yourself be the opposite of wise. And in the word, that's called a fool. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. still talking about our responsibility to hold each other accountable. The word says, Colossians 3:16, that the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. I'm going to stop right there, because that little word right there is a word we tend to overlook. You know, we like the rest of the verse of singing and virtuous songs and grace and our hearts and all that, you know, it's all that feels good and that is good. But the first thing he says, the second thing he says after the word wisdom is teaching and admonishing. When we admonish one another, we're going to look at that word in the Greek. That is number 3560. And it means to warn or exhort. So when we're admonishing one another, we're saying, hey, I'm warning you about something you're doing. And I'm going to say it again, that these things be done in a spirit of humility and love. Because the next time admonition comes around, it may be toward you. And you would want to receive it in a spirit of love. Yahushua teaches us about accountability. We're going to look at two things that he says. Our first scripture is Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read verse 3. And this is what our master says. Those of us who are students of Yahushua as his Talmudim, this is what our teacher teaches us. He says, verse 3, take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Excuse me, family. Get a little water here. Yahushua says that if your brother or your sister, if we wrong one another, we have a responsibility to rebuke one another. And to rebuke means in the concordance, or in the Greek language, to admonish sharply. Not just admonish, but to do it in a sharp way. In other words, be direct, straight, to the point. Let them know exactly what they've done. This is a form of accountability. If you just listen to the words, if your brother sins against you, if he, we look at that word sin, it means to miss the mark. If your brother is missing the mark toward you, rebuke him. And if he repents, these are the term that we use toward the Most High when it comes to transgression. Because a trespass is another, is a synonym for sin or transgression. They're all synonymous with one another. And the same steps of dealing with sin is the same thing that we see dealing with one another. Because when you go and you tell your brother or your sister what they've done against you, what they're supposed to be doing next is repenting. Just like when we sin against the Father, we're supposed to repent. And then here's the next word. If you repent, forgive. Same process of dealing with sin between us and the Father is us dealing with one another. But what we have to do, we are the one that has been trespassed against. We actually go first. It says, rebuke him or her. Let them know what they've done against you. Give them the opportunity to repent. We don't realize how we harm one another when a brother or sister sins against us and we don't hold them accountable to it, because the Father is. Transgression is a transgression. And we, when we don't rebuke them and let them know what they've done against us, we're affecting their relationship with the Father. We have to give them the opportunity to repent so they can be in right relationship, not only with the Father, with you. You could be at peace. A lot of times we hold things in because we don't want to deal with, well, me and the sister, we're going to, you know, I'll just pretend like it didn't happen, or I'll just, you know, I'll just forget about it. I'll just let it roll off my back. But sometimes we don't do that. And then we harbor these thoughts and these feelings in our heart and in our mind, and we just give toys for the enemy to play with against us. And then later on you see a distance between you and the sister, all because you just didn't do what the word says. They trespass against you, go rebuke them. Give them opportunity to repent and then forgive them. This is what our master says. This is a form of accountability. And accountability is a blessing. It's a good thing. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. A lot of us are afraid of being held accountable, truth be told. We are truly afraid of someone coming to us and saying, brother or sister, you've dropped the ball. A lot of us are unwilling to stand toe-to-toe and receive correction and admonishment and rebuke. But it's time for us to grow up, because this is a part of being a believer. See, there's principles that we have to walk out. The Father gave us laws, statutes, and right ruling. But behind these things, there are principles. There's something spiritual the Father is trying to teach us. And any legal system is based on doing the right thing. That's a principle. And holding one another accountable is a principle. It is a right thing. It causes functional relationships. It causes growth. It causes peace. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. We're going to read from 9 to 12. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is the strength of accountability. When you have two people walking together, laboring together, it is always going to be easy. Because if one person stumbles and falls, the other one is there to pick them up. Scripture says one chase 1,000, two chase 10,000. Now imagine how many are being chased. Well, we have 3 and 4 and 10 and 20 and 1,000. Everyone working together, picking one another up when we fall. See here in verse 12, in the last part of the verse, a threefold cord is not easily broken, so that two has now become three. If it's three of you together, that's not easily going to be broken. See, what a cord is a twining of strands. You can easily pop a strand of thread. There's only one. But if you want something to, if you want a rope to be strong, you twine it with many strands, easily broken. And that's what we need to do for one another. This is why it is so valuable for us to be able to hold each other accountable, because we're making each other stronger. We're making us stronger sisters. And this is what the whole act is about, being a strong wall. We're stronger when we are holding each other accountable, because we're setting aside things that is holding us back. We are becoming more disciplined in doing what the Father has called us to do. Biggest lies the enemy has done within Israel, within the body of believers, whether you call yourself Christian or whatever you call yourself, one of the biggest lies he has taught us is that we don't need to be a part of an assembly. I can serve God by myself, they say. I don't need to be around a bunch of people. Those are the most self-righteous people on the planet. Now, there's some from assemblies because they've been hurt, they've been burnt. But there's always a way to correct that. It starts with accountability and forgiveness and restoration. But we have some people who actually don't want to be corrected because they think they're fine, they think they're right, they think they're perfect. So I don't need an assembly. I can stay over here by myself, and me and the Ruach be one-on-one and just be taught that way, and I can't find it in Scripture. I can't find it in Scripture where the Father just tells one person not to fellowship with another person unless it's a prophet and the Father was using his life for a specific reason. Like, I believe it was Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of those prophets, but he told them, I think it was Jeremiah, lay on one side of your body for X amount of days. They lay on your other body for X amount of days, you know. But I don't see outside of Father saying, I don't want you to have any, I don't want you Israelites to have anything to do with these Israelites. You're going to stay over here by yourself. Even though there's nothing wrong with these Israelites, I still want you by yourself. Not even the Messiah did that. And what they miss is accountability. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse 12 and 13. We're going to read verse 12 and 13. It says, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brothers, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. See, what comes to my mind right away is that scripture says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know? We don't even realize how wicked our own hearts are. Let's go back. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living mighty one, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, how are you supposed to do that when you don't want to be a part of an assembly, if you don't have a sisterhood or a brotherhood? Who's going to exhort you? Who's going to lift you up? Who's going to correct you? You have no one but yourself. And that's dangerous because, like we said, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can tell? You don't even know how wicked you are. If we would really see ourselves as the sinner that we are, some of us might not even want to live anymore if we really saw how wicked we are. But you know who see how wicked we are? Other people. I saw someone posted today, people are mirrors. Through people, we see ourselves. And we see the behavior of other people. And we see, wow, I did that. And now you see what it looks like. You see how ugly it is. But you had to see it for you to find out that this is what dwells inside of you. You can't do that by yourself. The process of accountability, holding each other accountable. Accountability works two ways. It's not only you as a sister or a brother approaching someone and saying, hey, sister, hey, bro, I see you're caught up in a fault. How can I help? Sometimes we have to get an answer for our behavior. And that comes through confession. Let's read James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another. How can you do that if you're by yourself? You want to be an assembly of one. Who are you confessing your sins to? You can confess it to Yah, but let's continue with the verse. Confess your sins, your faults, one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So this is the process. The first thing is that the one that's in error, the one that's in a fault, must confess to those that she has given herself over to be held accountable by. Your sisterhood, your spouse, your chaver, which means your friend, someone that you say, all right, I'm going to hold myself accountable to you. That's the person you go to and you confess your fault. Oh, so do you just write it down and say, okay, you've been confessed? No, because then what we're supposed to do together is to pray. Stand together and pray to overcome and get our healing. Like we said, sin is a disease. It is a dis-ease in the body. It's a dis-ease in the spirit that manifests, can manifest in the body. But by confessing to those you hold yourself accountable to, and now because what affects you affects me, we stand in agreement and we pray. You can't do this by yourself. So as accountability partners, and we're going to talk about that a little bit at the end of the show, I'm going to share something about being an accountability partner. What about you as the accountability partner? Let's drop down to verse 19. We're going to read verse 19 and 20. It says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, so if you make an error about walking this way and someone converts you, see that word convert is same as the Hebrew word shub. You might have heard the term teshuba or teshuva. That means to turn back, to go back in the opposite direction because you have gone off in the wrong direction. So if you have led someone to turn back or to repent back to Yah, this is your reward. Verse 20, it says, let him know that he that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Go back to the scriptures we read earlier about being a watchman and warning, because we know that at the end of sin there is death. But we have to be the ones, because we love one another and because we call ourselves to our walls, we have to be the ones that bring back our brothers and sisters that are in error. who are erring from the truth and bring them back to the truth, because we've now saved a life. Let's go back to revisit Galatians chapter 6 for a second, because this is very important. We think about accountability. One thing we don't want to do is buzz it up. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." See, when we hold a sister or brother accountable, that does not make us judge over their lives. That does not give us the authority to go and condemn them for the fault that they're struggling under. That's called kicking them while they're down. That is not love. But knowing our makeup, that it can be us at any time, go after them in the spirit of meekness. Because guess what? There are things that we, each one of us, are going to be held accountable for. Each one of us. Think about what the definition means. To give an account. All of our minds should be going through revelations, that day of judgment, when every one of us are going to stand before the throne of Yah and be judged. We're going to have to answer for the things that were given to us, answer for the responsibilities that we took on. And handle and accept the liability of our actions. This is why we want to be meek and humble when we deal with one another, because that's how we want to be dealt with. But even before then, even before that great day, that final day of reckoning, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12. This is our Master Yahushua speaking. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned." Every word, every idle word, we have to give account for. The first pillar that we spoke about, when we talked about accountability, was responsibility. Are we being responsible with the words that we use? Now, we got to think about the function of words. You know, words are ability to create, to do, to direct, all that good stuff. But the main thing we're supposed to be using our words for, because if you read all of that chapter, it's about speaking about Messiah. Our words are supposed to be us sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. Anything else outside of that really is like idle conversation. Not saying that we can't have conversation, because we also going to take into account or take into consideration when we read the whole chapter of Matthew 12, Yahushua will have a conversation about the scribes and the Pharisees. So when he rebuked them sharply. And he knew that in their heart was idleness. Thing that they thought was important, but really wasn't that important, really wasn't of any value. Their long prayers really of no value, because they were not esteeming the Son of Yah. They were not esteeming Mashiach. Those words, they were idle words. But know this for sure, according to what he says, we will have to give an account for the idle words we speak. So we want to make sure that our word that we're speaking how many of those words that we speak are words of life, words of encouragement, words of upliftment, words of sharing the good news of the death and resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach. Romans 14 and 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to Yah. This is Brother Shavu writing to the Roman Assembly. Each one of us will have to give an account. See, this is self-accountability we're talking about now. You're going to have to give an account to the Most High. So why not practice today? Why not practice now in your relationship with your sisters, in your relationships with your brothers, your spouses, of giving an account, being responsible, being honorable. You know, I really, throughout this study, one of the things that I really felt was being held accountable and holding others accountable is a matter of integrity. To be able to stand up and look a brother or sister in the eye and be able to say, I've done this wrong, or I'm struggling with this, or brother or sister, why are you doing that? I thought you put that behind you. That's integrity. That's making sure your brother, your sister, is the nation of Israel, that we are sound. You know, we're looking for the cracks and the weaknesses, and we are addressing it, not just watching it, because we want to be sound. We want to be that clean virgin being presented to Mashiach. Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls. Let's talk about our teachers. Our teachers, our husbands, our fathers, those who have the rule over us. As they must give account. See, they're going to be held accountable for the flock that's under them. Shepherds, Yahushua said, I will not lose one. You're going to be held accountable. He wanted his parable. If you have 99 and one goes away, you're going to get that one because you were held responsible for the 100 sheep. You don't watch just one go away and just say, oh, well, at least I got 99. He said, I will lose not one because I am the good shepherd. Because we know the shepherd is working for the owner of the flock. And when that owner comes back, he wants an account of his flock. Scripture talks about the rich knowing the state of their flocks. In other words, they know what's going on with their business. They know the state of their flock. So when that shepherd loses one, that shepherd, hey, I secured 99, I'm going after the one because he's going to have to give an account. Fathers and husbands, they have to give an account for their families. That word when in Genesis, after Hawa transgressed, and now the Father puts an order, he says, thy husband shall bear rule over you. That word, mashal, same word, to rule over. If you're in a position of authority, you have to give an account for those who are under your authority. So, fathers, your children, you have to give an account for your children's behavior until they get the age of adulthood. Because Scripture says, teach them diligently. That's how you hold them. That's how you hold them accountable. You put the word in them so they know what to do. And you're held responsible because that's your responsibility. And as husbands, your wives. You're taking a wife and bringing her into your house. You're saying, I am going to be your covering. I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your protection. I am going to fulfill your needs. That is your responsibility. You're going to have to give an account for that. Scripture says, I forget where it's written, that if having the wife cry can hinder your prayers. Now, we can say it goes vice versa, but it specifically says that having your wife cry can hinder your prayers. You know, he could have said having your spouse, having a husband and wife, but he was specifically saying that for a reason, because the wife is in the position of submission. And we don't have the final authority. And sometimes we have to just accept the authority or the decision of our husband. We have to accept the treatment, and sometimes that brings us to tears. That can hinder the prayer, because the father is going to hold you accountable. Let's go back to James. And we're going to look at chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 1. It says, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Here we have another position of authority that is going to be held accountable for those under them, and that's teachers. Teachers are going to be held accountable for the things they're teaching and for their students. And James is telling us, don't rush to be a teacher. You will be required. You'll be judged a little harsher. The scripture escaped my mind. These are situations in our life that we want to hold ourselves accountable to, knowing that if you're in a position of authority, if you're a teacher, that you're going to have to give account. Knowing you within yourself, your life, you're going to have to give account. Knowing that the words that you speak, you're going to have to give account. And these are what according to the word. So now when we think about accountability for one another, you know, we think about being a strong wall. And being strong means being able to hold each other accountable, holding ourselves accountable. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's necessary. I believe that the scriptures we looked at proved that it was necessary, that it was needed. It is what the Father wants us to do. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This is what I know within my personal self I desire in my relationship with people. I can be a strong-spoken type of person, and sometimes people are intimidated by that. But I need to be held accountable. I'm a sinner, struggle with things. I'm not consistent. I lack discipline. I need people that's going to hold me accountable. Not people who's going to be intimidated or afraid to say what needs to be said. This is what we need as strong walls for one another, because we all want to succeed. We all want to do well. One thing I want to share with us, share with everyone before I go, I ran across 10 questions for your quote-unquote Christian accountability partner. And I really like this because it's given us something tangible that we can walk away with today. this is something you can do with your haver, your study partner, your friend. You can do this with your spouse, or just pick a sister and agree to become accountability partners for one another so we can succeed as being strong walls for one another, but more importantly, that we can succeed in being acceptable in our behavior and what we're doing for the Father. Kevin, I'm just going to read what this says, and the website, if you wanted to visit it, is whatchristianswanttoknow.com, and the article is 10 questions for your Christian accountability partner. And I will actually like this on my Facebook page for those who are listening and want to go back to actually read the article. I'm just going to read the top, and then I'm going to go through the 10 questions real quick. It says, having an accountability partner will help you when trying to overcome specific sins or to grow spiritually mature in certain areas. An accountability partner can be your spouse or a trusted friend. So these are some of the questions. And you could always, the way this is set up is asking that, you and your accountability partner meet once a week and you go through these 10 questions. And you can meet face-to-face over coffee if you have the time or over the phone. So the thing is that this is something that you do every week. You say, well, every Sunday because it's the first day of the week, or you want to do it every Shabbat because at the end of the week you want to recap your week with your accountability partner and then pray for the upcoming week. This is going to set into stone a new behavior, a new discipline. Okay. Have you had your devotions faithfully? The foundation of any spiritual growth would be Bible reading and prayer. It is not an option to not be in the Word of Yah every day. As believers, it is not an option. When our life begins to get difficult and things begin to go awry, and everything seems to be hiccuping and confusion, and examine your personal devotional life. Examine how you're spending your days, time you're giving to the Father, how much time you're praying, how much time you're in His Word, and 9 times out of 10, you have let that slip. And all these things is happening in your life because the Father is trying to get your attention. Plain and simple. So hold each other accountable, having your devotional faithfully. And the easy way to do your devotional, there's an app called YouVersion, which has many devotionals and studies for families, individual, for the books and topics and all different kind of things. Great place to start. You can, you and your accountability partner can become friends, and you can see what they're doing, and you can, write them comments and so on and so forth. And that's one way that daily, hey, sis, I didn't see that you did your devotionals today. Question 2. What did Elohim teach you through His Word this week? If you want to have a conversation, we know that when we're in the Word, it's the Holy Spirit teaching us. So what did the Holy Spirit teach you today or throughout the week? Let's share. So now you have the experience, but now we both of us benefit. Question 3. Have you been pure in your thought life? Something I've never asked, never been asked, never thought to ask. Scripture tells us to think on godly things, but we know a lot of the things that we struggle through is happening right between our ears. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday that said, don't believe everything you think. So true. We have to put that helmet on to protect our thoughts. And we need to man up or sister up enough, strong wall up enough to say, hey, or to keep them pure. Next question. What sin did you battle this week? We went to that scripture and it says, confess your sins one to another. Sometimes we need to just ask for that confession. What are you struggling with this week? What did you struggle with this week? Not so we can just make a list so that we can walk out that scripture. We confess, then we pray. Next question. Did Yah give you victory in an unexpected way? See, this is how we build up each other's faith, where we can share a breakthrough, or we can share a blessing or answered prayer. But not only that, we're now looking for it. You know, we're looking for the Father to give us a victory in an unexpected way. So now we're like, all right, Father, I know you're coming. I know you're coming. I'm not sure where you're coming, but I know you're coming. Aha, I found you. You came. And then I can share. You can share that with your accountability partner to the glory of Yah. Next question. What battles do you think you're going to face this upcoming week? Now, sometimes we can actually guess that. Because you might know next week at work is evaluation time, or you're getting ready to do a test at school, or, you know, it's budget meeting time. And, okay, these are some of the things I think there is going to try to use to disrupt my week or disrupt my peace. So we can pray about it. Another question, did you share your faith with someone? Remember, our whole goal as being believers of Yahushua is not just that we be saved, but that we share the gospel. When the Father gives us opportunities to do so, are we sharing? Something that we can talk about with our accountability partners. And if you had the opportunity you didn't share, why not? Not to condemn one another, but let's examine the thing that hindered us from sharing. And let's, you guessed it, pray about it. Another question, are you being honest with others? Not just lying, you know, that's obvious, but are you being a hypocrite? Are you being true to who you really are as far as presenting yourself as a believer? Have you matured spiritually? Sometimes we need to go back and examine, are we growing? And that can always come through, that examination can always come through us dialoguing with our accountability partner. Next question, question number 9. Or 10, I've lost count, and these aren't numbers. How was your family life? And when we ask that question, it doesn't have to begin with everything that's going wrong in your house. What's going right? What is going right with your marriage? What is going right with your children? What is going right in your relationships? It doesn't all have to be what's going wrong. We're believers, and we should have more stories of the good that's happening in our lives than the bad, because we're His children. All things work for the good for those who are in Mashiach. So even if you're dealing with a difficult situation, be excited that you know the Father is working on it. And so these are just some of the basic questions. You can always add your own or create your own. These are just a guideline of certain something you can do with your accountability partner, your strong walls in your life. Because you want to be corrected, you want to be encouraged, you want to be admonished, you want all these good things happening to you, but it's only going to happen by you being exactly what you aspire to be, and that is a strong wall. Thank everyone for listening. Next 2 weeks we have June 14th on a Sunday. We have our mother-daughter tea here being hosted at Beth Yahweh Assembly. And if anyone would like tickets, we still have a few tickets for sale. You can reach me at 443-804-3454. And also text me things or strength you think is necessary to be a strong wall. What is it that you're looking for in a sister? What are you looking for from a sister who say they're walking in Mashiach? What do you need? what do you see as necessary? And maybe that'll be one of our upcoming shows as we deal through this series of strong walls. I thank everyone for joining me. And until next time, I pray that Yah peace be upon all his children and that we continue to strive to do the things that's pleasing to our Father out of love because he loves us. Join us next week, Wednesday, Yah willing, where we will continue the study and we'll see where the Father leads us. Until next time, Shalom, family.
Your storm right now. My storm has moved away. I'm at peace. Come on, you ought to lift your hands and thank him for peace. Remember the day, Lord. I remember the moment, Lord. You came and laid your hands on me. And now, oh, oh, Lord, you died for me on Calvary. And now I can see my storm has moved away. You came and laid your hands on me, and now I can see clearly now the rain is gone. You came and laid your hands on me, and now it'll be all over in the morning. You came and laid your hand on me, and now I can see my storm has moved away.